Today, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, loving God, help us to hear your holy word with open hearts so that we may truly understand, and understanding that we may believe, and believing that we may follow in all fruitfulness and obedience, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. As we look at our text today, Heavenly Father, help us to understand, to receive your word through our hearts. We pray your Son in Jesus Christ. Amen. Is from 2 Peter, first chapter, chapter 1st. 2 Peter, chapter 1st. Usually, I pick a couple of verses for my sermon to study, but I learned something from Pastor Perry. Usually he read all chapters, so I will imitate Pastor Perry. He's reading chapter 1, which is long. This is the word of God. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted us to his precious and very great promises, so that through them we may become partakers of divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of the sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with the knowledge, and knowledge with the self-control, and self-control with the steadfastness, and steadfastness with the godliness, and godliness with the brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or for whoever lacks this quality is so nearsighted, and he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus, Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you these qualities, though you know them and establish in the truth and that you have. I think it is right, as long as I'm in the body, to stir you up by way of a reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made it clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and a voice was borne to him by the majesty glory, "It is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on a holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the morning star rises in your heart. Knowing the first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but the man spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever forgotten something? For example, have you ever forgotten your appointment? I have. Have you ever forgotten your anniversaries? Yes. Or your family members' birthdays? I have. Or you don't remember where you park your car in the parking lot. It always happening to me. Don't you think that we are sometimes or all the time forgetful? We sometimes forget our meetings and activities or other things that we should do and remember. But not only we are forgetful in our lives, but also we are so forgetful in our relationships with God. We read the Bible, but we often forget what the Bible says. We listen to the Word of God almost every Sunday, yet we forget Pastor Perry's sermon as soon as we leave the church. Is it true? Forgetfulness is not only our problem. The early Christians were also very forgetful. They had heard the gospel. They had witnessed the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet they were easily confused and distracted by the many false teaching and prophets and doctrines in the early church. Yes, like you and me, they were so forgetful Christians. I believe that Peter was one of the most forgetful disciples. When Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:16. He confessed, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the greatest moment, greatest of confession ever at the time. But the same Peter who confessed his faith denied Jesus Christ 3 times. We know that. He simply forgot what he said. When Peter was in the courtyard after Jesus was seized, he denied Jesus 3 times. And Matthew 26:75 explains what happened to him. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. He remembered, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Probably Peter wept bitterly again and again whenever he heard the sound of a rooster every day. For Peter, the sound of a rooster was not an animal's crying, but it was a spiritual reminder for him to refresh his faith in Christ, remembering his confession, remembering his denials. Then our text begins like this, verse 12. "Therefore, I intend to keep on reminding you of these things, though you know them already and are established in the truth that has come to you." Not only Peter wanted to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and everything about him, but also he wanted to remind his readers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even more, Peter repeated the word remind 3 times. I felt that very interesting. He denied Jesus Christ 3 times. I don't know him. That he reminds his readers 3 times in our text. Verse 12, "I intend to keep on reminding you these things." Verse 13, "I think it is right to refresh your memory." Verse 15, "And I will make every effort So that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time, to recall, which is remember these things. We see that basically Peter is saying to his readers, remember, remember, and remember these things. And probably we wonder what he wants to say to his readers, what he wants his readers to remember. First of all, he explains everything in verses 3 and 11. During my sermon preparation, I thought I'm going to preach from verse 12 to 21. Then I realized that without talking verse 3 to 11, I can't go to 12. But it's nearly impossible to put two things, verse 3 to 11 and 12 to 21. And I was really struggling. Then Pastor Perry came into my office. He said, hey, summarize it. So if you don't understand my summarization of verse 3:11, you know who do you blame for. This is, the following is a summary of what Peter said, these things in verses 3:11. Now listen, Christ has called you and me and has given us everything we need for life and godliness in this world. That's verse 3 and that's verse 4. Therefore, Peter is saying, we should do our best, everything, to live a godly life in Christ. That is verses 5 through 11. Especially Peter talks about verses 5 to 7, the 8 Christian virtues. He was urging his readers, hey, live holy, to live a holy life. To be honest with you, we cannot live the holy life on our own because we are sinners. But Peter emphasizes that it's possible. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. That's my summary. After talking about the holy life and fruitful Christian's lifestyle, now Peter pushes his readers to remember something more. The promise of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ. There our verse 16 says, for we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty. This is a very powerful statement. Here in verse 16, we see that Peter boldly declares that his teaching about Jesus Christ was not a made-up story. Not made-up stories, but it's the real and true. Peter was not happy with some people who cleverly devised myths regarding Jesus Christ. The NIV translates, very funny, I like the NIV translate at this part, because NIV translates the same phrase as invented stories. Invented stories or cleverly devised myths. What does it mean? What happened to the early church or Christians? And to help our understanding, we must read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, which is, it says, what happened in the first church? And the false prophets also arose among the people. Uh-oh. Now, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring destructive opinions, they will even deny the master who brought you, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Now, based on Peter's descriptions, chapter 2 and chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 16 to 1, there were many false prophets and teachers in the early church already. And they denied the teaching of Jesus Christ. They denied the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is the main problem in our text. And because of that, the whole church was suffering. And they were in immediate danger of destruction. So Peter had to remind them. Peter had to remind them of the truth of Jesus Christ. He cannot wait. He had to say, awake, awake, and watch out, and remember the promise of Jesus Christ. It's interesting to see that how Peter describes those false teachers in the early church. He said, cleverly devised myths. In our words, they were so good. They were so good at making stories about Jesus Christ and his teaching. The meaning of the story in Greek is myth. In that sense, I think ESV is right. And a commentator, Simon Kitzmaker, says, a myth is a story which man has formulated to express his own desires without any reference to reality. Without any reference to reality, the false teachers, prophets, must have said, hey, Jesus Christ will not come again. Can you imagine how Peter had felt when he heard about these false teachings? Can you imagine how Peter had felt when he heard that many Christians, early church Christians, were confused by these false teachings? Now, what would you feel if someone comes in our church and teach their invented stories of Jesus Christ without any biblical references? What would you do? In the early church, Christians were eagerly waiting for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 1:11, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who had been taken from you and into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That's his promise. Now, however, as we know, Jesus did not come back, return to the earth right away. That causes lots of problems. So some of the early Christians began thinking and to doubt about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the false teachers must have said, hey, no, there is no second coming of Jesus Christ. Hey, we don't see any sign. We don't see any sign of returning of Jesus Christ. It's not true. So for Peter, no tolerance with these false teachers. No tolerance of false gospels. He could not remain silent. He had to remind his readers of the truth of Jesus Christ and his promise, the powerful promise of his second coming. He had to remind the early Christians that the powerful coming of Jesus Christ is not a myth, not a made-up story, but it's true. His statement is very powerful. In verse 16, he said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Now, we have to understand that Peter presented himself as a real witness at this point who saw the glory of God when he was with Jesus Christ on the sacred mountain. That story is found in Matthew chapter 17. Notice that Peter also said we, which means Peter and James and John. Can you believe that they saw the glory of God with their own eyes? They were the real witnesses. Not only saw the glory of God, but also they heard the voice of God when they were with Jesus Christ. This is what the scripture says, Peter chapter 1 and 7, 2 Peter chapter 1 and 7. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. If we go to the movie theater, we always watch movie trailers. I love to watch them. I personally enjoy watching them because I can see and hear the contents of the coming soon movies. Peter saw and heard the glory of God at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. For Peter, that was the preview of the powerful coming of Jesus Christ. Powerful moment to see the future. Powerful moment to believe that God's promise. It was a foretaste of the glory of Jesus Christ. Since he has experienced the glory of God, since he has witnessed the glory of God, therefore he absolutely believes the promise of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will come again. How about us? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ will come again? I think so, we do. But how many times we heard that preaching? Jesus Christ will come again with his glory and power and honor as he promised. There is no doubt, no confusion about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that Peter must have shouted out aloud in his mind and said, brothers and sisters, yes, he will come. Jesus Christ will come again. I know that it is true because I saw and heard the glory of God. Do not listen to those false teachers and false teachings. Don't be confused by their made-up stories. But I see that nowadays we are always confused by some made-up stories. And after talking about the truth of the second coming of Jesus Christ, Peter presented one more evidence, which is the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures. He said in verse 19, so we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Peter says, we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. A lamp shining in a dark place. The more star rises in your hearts. I found a very interesting comment about this R.C. Sproul. I know that New Hope Congregation loves to hear R.C. Sproul's, so I found his book and read it. He said, basically, Peter is here, is declaring that they had heard audibly on the Mount of the Transfiguration is confirmed by the prophets. Notice Peter says, a lamp shining in a dark place, the morning star rises in your hearts in verse 19. What does it mean? Found another best illustration or explanation about this verse. One of my favorite commentators, and Thomas Schreiner, maybe I say right his name, he said, quote, since the transfiguration indicates the proper interpretation and verification of the prophetic word, believers should pay carefully attention to that word, for it is like a lamp illuminating the darkness. Believers will need that word for direction until the day of the Lord comes. I think this is the best illustration. Peter was saying to his readers in the early church, the second coming of Jesus Christ is not a myth, not my idea or invented story, but it is the promise of God through the Scriptures, the prophetic message. Therefore, you need to pay attention to the prophetic word and you will know it. Isn't that true that Jesus will enlighten our hearts, the darkness of our hearts when we read the Scripture? When we pay attention to the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will help us to understand. Have you ever turned your headlights off while you're driving on any highway at night? Probably you haven't, but I have. I know it's dangerous, but I tried a couple of times when I lived in Alaska, so dark in the wintertime. But when I felt a strong assurance of my driving skills, I bravely, turned off my headlights while I was driving on the highways in Alaska at night. Well, do you think that I kept the lights off? No. Although I was so sure about my driving skills, I could not drive a mile, maybe not even a mile, without my headlights on, because I couldn't see anything in front of me. It's so dark. I think it's true when I drive I-94 to Seattle. I can't turn my headlights off. It's always on there. I can't do that, but it's true, right? Have you ever turned on the true light, the Word of God, while you're living in this world? Or have you ever turned it off? Remember, although we are so sure about ourselves, we are good people, we are better people, we are so smart, we cannot live in this world without the true light, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. That's why the Apostle Paul, John says, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming to the world. John 1 and 9. The true life is proclaimed throughout the prophetic words, the prophets in the Old Testament. The true light is declared through the mouth of the disciples in the New Testament. Therefore, Peter's testimony of Jesus Christ is not a myth, not a made-up story, it's an invented story, but it is a true story. Jesus is the light of the world, and surely He will come again. Then we should think about the following questions. What does the Bible mean to me? What does the Bible mean to you? Is that just a collection of storybooks? Or does it come to us as a living and a holy Word of God? I hope you remember a famous Korean gospel singer there who came to our church last year for a Christmas concert. Well, he and I were talking about our ministries, and he shared me a shocking story about North Korea refugees. The story begins like this. One time my friend visited an underground church, a Korean missionary center in China, to lead a worship service there. And after worship service, the Korean missionary asked him to visit another congregation, underground congregation in town. So he said yes. Then the Korean pastor, led him to a secret place where some of North Korean refugees were hiding and waiting for them. And when my friend saw them for the first time, he was really shocked because many of them were teenagers. Now, even more, he was shocked because many of the teenagers were trying to memorize the Bible. My friend wondered why they were trying to memorize all the Bible. So he asked, why do these young people try to memorize the Bible? Then the Korean missionary answered, they try to memorize the Bible because they want to go back to the North Korea to share the good news with their family members, their mothers and their fathers, their friends and their sisters, whatever they know. Who doesn't know Jesus Christ? These young people escaped from North Korea for freedom and better life. But now they are trying to go back to North Korea with the Word of God not in their hands, in their hearts. They went back to North Korea without any fear because they have met Jesus Christ. They memorize all the verses because they believe that it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. They do not fear death or any persecution because they believe that the same Jesus Christ who has been taken to heaven will come back in the same way. What does the Bible mean to us? For Peter, the scripture is the foundation of his faith in Christ. And Peter says in verse 20, first of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. 21, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but man and woman moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. God is the author of the Bible. He wrote the Bible through the hands of his servants. Therefore, the Word of God is not a matter of personal interpretation. I've been struggling with this last week. It hit me really hard. I went to a worship service happening in our Korean community. And a guest speaker read a scripture and he began talking about weird things. During his worship service, preaching, I learned where he came from. I learned his elementary school and he went through middle school and in college, and I know his father's job. Well, no one can interpret the Bible based on his or her thoughts and opinion, right? The scripture itself proves that the second coming of Jesus Christ is true. And it really happening. Therefore, Peter says, Jesus Christ will come again, period. When Peter wrote this letter, he knew that the days of his life were soon coming to the end. That's why he said a couple of times in verse 13 and 15, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir up you up. That's NIV translation. By way of reminder, verse 15, I will make every effort so that my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. No time to wait for him. Peter had to keep reminding his readers of the truth of Jesus Christ. And I literally hear that Peter's heart was beating really hard. Did you hear that Peter want to say? What Peter want to say? It isn't right. I will stir you up if you are sleeping. I will stir you up to refresh your memory of Jesus Christ. Thanksgiving is coming this week. What should we be thankful for on Thanksgiving? We have lots of reasons to be thankful for our jobs and friends, family members, even our church. Among these many reasons, Peter is adding one more. We should be thankful for Christ. Based on his letter in chapter 1, Christ, he is the one who has granted us all the things that we should live a holy life. He granted us everything. He is the one who called us to be his own glory and excellence so that we may bear spiritual fruits. Verse 5 and 7. He is the one who granted us his precious life for us. He is the one who died on the cross and resurrected to conquer the sin. Brothers and sisters, remember, he is the one who will come again with his glory and power and honor to fulfill the promise of the scriptures. What should we be thankful on this Thanksgiving day? Nothing else but Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth and died on the cross for our sins. Thank you for the fulfillment of the prophetic words. Thank you for the promise of the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is not our home. We are waiting for our Lord Jesus' coming again. Would you please help us to think about that? Although we have many things to thank, but help us to think about our Lord Jesus Christ this week. Help us to confess our faith. Help us to see the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ through our lives. We pray, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.